88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels. This is truly a pleasure, and more than just a pleasure, it's essential. I want to welcome J.D. Souther to the station. Welcome.
Thanks, Sky.
I mean, you know, we were talking earlier, J.D., about how ever since we launched this iteration of the station that we had perspective, you know, about L.A. radio and what it, you know, what it meant through the years. And you know, you really are one of those architects, if you will, of what is the foundation of the radio station. But before we get into going back in time.
It's very flattering, by the way. Thank you.
Well, but it's true. It's true. And it's something that, that a lot of our listeners know and recognize. And for those who don't, you're going to possibly begin to understand it more as we have a conversation today. But let's focus on the here and now. And let's talk about Tenderness, your latest album. You work with Larry Klein.
I did.
And
brilliant Larry Klein.
You had a sense, I guess if I use one word, orchestration was part of the impetus. Tell us about how it all came to be.
Well, all of the songs on that album, really, except the last one, which was sort of like a little epilogue to the album, actually, were written pretty tight in a tight time frame before that album. I really started putting together, like you sometimes do, pieces of old things, and then it just sort of took off on its, had sort of a life and sound of its own. I was really imagining a movie that I couldn't afford to make.
Well, and you have said that it had a cinematic scope in your head, and you really wished you could make a movie because it felt appropriate.
Yes, I mean, I do some of my great friends a disservice by saying that, because some great filmmakers are friends of mine. I wouldn't know how to go about it exactly, but I saw with my mind's eye very clearly the whole, a long period of time about in and around Los Angeles. I mean, I saw the wet streets of Raymond Chandler's 40s, and you know, I saw Sunset Boulevard, and then I saw it as I saw it in 1970 with pulling up in Glenn Frey and I's beat up Falcon next to Elvis in an Eldorado, and just thinking, what a strange thing has come to pass during my lifetime that no one's noticing Elvis Presley in a big maroon Eldorado with Sonny and Red with him, but people recognize Norman Greenbaum on the street, you know. And
That's an anecdote that says a lot.
Well, I was in, Norman and I had a band together. Norman Greenbaum and I had a band called Natty Bumpo. It was called Hasty Pudding, and then somebody at Harvard told us we couldn't use that name because they have a Hasty Pudding club at Harvard. So it became Natty Bumpo from the Deerslayer. That's a bit of a digression. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is I was seeing in my head not just Hollywood, but all of Los Angeles through all those years, including some of my friends at the time, because it's about some things that happened to. One of the songs is very much about somebody else. And then some are just pure short stories that are condensed into songs, like the one I think I'm going to play in a little while, Dance Real Slow, is really the scene from a movie that I'd like to make. You know, where the guy walks into a dimly lit bar and just somehow sees exactly the right woman and has the right words to say to her at exactly the right time. It's what he needs to say. It's what she needs to hear. And that's the beginning of that act of the movie.
Stay, turn around and see. greatest love I've ever known. When you tell me that you need me, and I know you're scared to admit that you do. Tell me how could this be wrong? We've been searching for so long for the greatest love we've known. Greatest love we've known. It's the greatest love
I used to go to Musso and Frank in the afternoon.
Oh, love it.
Because I lived in Beechwood Canyon at the time, so it was just down the hill. So I used to take my legal tablets and my journals and sit in the East Room in one of those big round booths by myself, big semicircular booths, and write in the afternoon. And I'd watch big name Hollywood writers and actors have come in, and it became like, oh, so this is how writers do it. And I had known that Dashiell Hammett, I'd known that some of my favorite writers from earlier Hollywood days had done the same thing. And I just felt very at home there. And when I was thinking about this album, I probably thought more back to those afternoons of before I had any real success, certainly not any real money, but I was getting a sense of who I was as a writer. And so I was writing poetry and journals and little bits of short fiction and songs and everything, because I wasn't in there with a guitar. I was just in there in that sort of dark room, that mid-afternoon darkness, and just loving it. And that I felt like I had really arrived at a place and at a job, having done a lot of jobs in life, that I was suited for. And this album, I just thought, you know, why not bring everything I've got in my vocabulary, my musical vocabulary, at least more of it, to bear on this, all the stuff I heard growing up, because my dad was a big band singer, his mother was an opera singer, and I loved Cole Porter and Gershwin and all that stuff growing up. And I just thought, well, what if I just let all this stuff pour through and just see what happens? And it doesn't exactly work that way, but if you start from there, then when you just stop thinking about it, all that stuff there. Linda Ronstadt once said, and I think she repeated in her lovely book, Simple Dream, the music that has the greatest influence on you might be the music you heard before you were 10 years old. And I'm not sure that's the greatest influence, but it was there. It was there all the time. I remembered that my grandma, the first song I learned was the Nessun Dorma from Puccini's Turandot. Well, you don't get better songs than that, so it was a pretty good place to start. And then when I got to Hollywood in my 20s, I found country music. We never heard it at home in Texas. My parents just weren't country music fans.
And that's rather unexpected.
Very unexpected. I was a jazz kid. I grew up playing tenor sax and drums. And came to Hollywood, and no one was hiring, me anyway. No one was hiring this hippie jazz drummer. So somebody left an acoustic guitar in my apartment, and I was already writing poems and stories, and I don't know.
So
here we are.
But there is, as I guess, a transition point into then you fell in with and fell down with a core of like-minded, and many of them transient. You know, you mentioned Glenn.
All of us except Jackson. Our whole crowd, and I'm speaking of the sort of extended family, not just Glenn and Don and Linda and I and Jackson, but Jackson's from here, of course, but also Zevon and Lowell George and Bonnie Raitt. And it was a pretty, maybe almost 10 people that were pretty locked together in some way. And Waddy Wachtel, who's incredibly important musician and guitar player to me and co-writer, we all just seemed to be struggling with the same, more or less the same things at the same time. But all coming from completely different points of view. And I don't know how it happened. None of us do. None of us had a sense of anything of building any kind of new structure. I didn't feel like an architect of anything. I was just trying to figure out what comes next. You know, it's like the Shakespeare thing, you know. What happens next? That's the important part of the play.
Faithless love, like a river flows, like raindrops falling on a broken rose, down in some valley where nobody goes, where the night blows in like a cold dark wind. Faithless love, like a river. Too many heartbreak songs where nobody's right and nobody's wrong. Faithless love will find you in the misery entwine you. Faithless love, where did I go? I guess I'm standing in the hall of broken dreams, but that's the way it sometimes goes. Never a new love never turns out like it seems. I guess the feeling comes and goes. Faithless love, like a river flows, like raindrops falling on a broken road, down in some valley where nobody goes. Faithless love has found me, throwing his chilly arms around me. Faithless love, faithless love, faithless love, like a river.
You have been an advocate for stronger support for the arts and maintaining public education for music in particular, obviously, a key concern. But you also come at that idea because you had to learn and continue to learn the discipline and the inspiration and the sources and the references of what is a great song and how do you get there. So, you know, do you want to talk about how strongly you feel about that support for the arts?
Wow. Okay. You've just handed me four soapboxes to stand on.
Feel free.
I'm at the top of the room.
Remember, we
preaching.
Are here in a college campus.
I know. I'm glad about
it. It's a context.
My musical training, I grew up in a typical middle class, working class. My father had a small music store. We had a family music store that we all worked in and I grew up in. And so most of what I learned about music, I learned in public school. I don't say most. I actually give my father and his mother and a great theory and composition professor I had in college named Evan Tonsing, who just died this year, as probably teaching me more about music without actually making me practice anything, just absorbing the musicality from those people. But public school music, I mean, without it, that's where Miles Davis learned to play. That's where John Coltrane learned to play. That's what we did in those days. We got free music lessons in school. We got choir, band, orchestra, private lessons. I mean, instruments if you needed them. It's just, it strikes me as a real oversight and very short-sighted, as a matter of fact, for anyone that's trying to decide how to spend money on education to overlook the arts, because not only do they feed the future of art, they make better citizens, they make better students. It makes for a happier school environment. It's just, it's a tragedy to overlook, and it's an absolute blessing when it's treated with the generosity and grace that it deserves.
I see you over in the corner, nursing your big girl drink. It's Friday night, you're all alone. It might be temporary, but it's always later than you think. You smile and I can see that you've been crying. You think no one can understand. You're lonely as Christmas with no one around. So may I offer you my hand. I wanna dance real slow and mean it. Move you all around the floor till the hours go like dominoes and we dance right out the door. Let the world fall down around us. Save all your tears for me. And I will always hold you tenderly. Yes, I will. I wanna dance real slow. Comes a day and the morning says it's time to go, but I'll beg you, please, please stay. Let the world fall down around us. Save all your tears for me, and I'll be all this sorrow, anyone would even care. All our time is borrowed, so let's just take what's there. If we keep on dancing, this song may never can't you hear the music beckoning from just around the bend? Let the world fall down around us. Save all your tears for me. Time will pass, and what will be will be.
This was certainly a taste of what, but only a taste of what they're going to hear tonight at the Rose. And I can't wait to see you again. And like you said, you know, keep finding the song. I don't know how they come. I keep your channels open.
I try.
And we'll keep our channel open at 88.5 FM.
Deal.
It's JD Souther Live. Thanks for coming,
Sky, my friend. You got it, bud. Thank you so much.